Hello, everyone. I'm Frank Beckman, sports director at WJR. And on behalf of the Detroit Tigers and our entire staff, I'm happy to present to you the 1984 Tigers, wire-to-wire champions. 1984 proved to be one of the most exciting years in Tigers history. This team, which had won 92 games the previous season, came out of spring training to get off to one of the fastest starts in baseball history. The Tigers withstood pressure which no one seemed capable of understanding. The pressure of a team that jumped out in front and became the focus of the sporting public all summer long. But that pressure never got the best of the 84 Tigers. They took the lead in the American League East on opening day in Minnesota, and they never looked back on their way to roaring through their division, the American League playoffs, and finally the World Series. The Tigers literally went wire to wire in an incredible championship season, which we're happy to relive through sound and comment. And so, without further ado, let me introduce to you WJR's voice of Tiger baseball, Ernie Harwell, and our presentation of the 1984 Tigers, Wire to Wire Champions.
The Tigers came out of a spring training in which they gave no appearance of being the runaway champions they were to become. But the optimism was there. Sparky Anderson knew what he had, though not even the Tigers' optimistic manager could imagine the start he was about to witness. They came north to Minnesota to open the season with a new owner, Tom Monahan, a new general manager, Bill DeJoy, and some new players, unknown quantities like Barbaro Garvey, Rusty Koontz, Dwight Lowry, and Rod Allen. They had a new free agent in Darrell Evans and two players from a controversial trade with the Phillies, players who would prove to be valuable additions, Willie Hernandez and Dave Bergman. But it all came together on opening day, April 3rd, in the Minnesota Metrodome, as Jack Morris went seven strong innings, while Aurelio Lopez and Willie Hernandez finished up. A sight that would become very familiar to Tiger fans. And in that first game, Darrell Evans paid his first dividend.
It's a fly ball, hit the right, it might be. Going way back, and it is out of here. A three-run homer by Evans. And the Tigers have an 8-1 lead. Evans hit one deep to right field to score three runs on one big blow here in the seventh inning.
The Tigers took the Twins again in Game 2 and then moved to Chicago, where the White Sox were the odds-on favorite to win the West again. The Tigers swept all three over the weekend, and in the middle game, history was made.
One ball, two strikes. Morris ahead of the hitter. Stegman back to first base. Bergman playing very wide of the bag on him. Tug of the cap by Morris. Working up the set position now. He goes to his set. Kittle waits. Here it comes. He struck him out, and Morris has a no-hitter. Lance Parrish goes out and grabs him, and the Tigers get a no-hit performance for the first time since 1958 when Jim Bunning did it. Jack Morris, the no-hit hero, surrounded by his teammates. In the ninth inning, Chicago, no runs, no hits, no errors, one man left, and the final score, Detroit 4, Chicago nothing.
A no-hitter for Jack Morris, made possible by two of the prettiest defensive plays you'll ever see, both by the new Tiger first baseman, Dave Bergman, catching a line shot off the bat of Tom Pachorik in the seventh and diving for Jerry Harrison's sharp grounder in the eighth. It was the first no-hitter for Tiger since Jim Bunning spun one at Boston in 1958. Later in the season, Morris went mute with the press for a spell, but on that cold Saturday in Chicago, Jack even went all the way up to the press box to accommodate the media. Paul Carey and I had a chance to chat with Jack in our booth.
Congratulations, Jack. That was a fantastic performance.
The big play had to be when Lozinski tapped the ball back to you with the bases loaded. Nobody out, wasn't it?
No doubt. That was the turning point of the ball game. I wasn't even thinking about a no-hitter then. I was just trying to get an out and a ground ball more than anything. I got a bases loaded, nobody out, and I'm in a jam. We got a two-run ball game at the time, so I just tried to get the ball on the ground and make a good pitch, and that's where the game of luck comes in because he hit it right back at me.
Were you a little upset before that? Did you lose a little of your composure after the call on Rudy Law when you walked the Fisk and walked the Baines?
I might have been. I think I was not as upset as I lost my concentration. It sort of triggered me, and I wasn't thinking maybe four or five pitches there, and it cost me.
I thought one of the great plays in the game was right after they inserted Dave Bergman at first base, and the line shot by Pachorik reacted on extremely well. Then, in the next inning, that shot by Hairston down the line, Jack.
Right. anybody that ever's come close to throwing a no-hitter or a perfect game or anything, there's luck involved, and there's an ideal situation. Today's game, Bergie made some great ball plays over there, and that's why I throw no-hitters. That's why guys throw no-hitters.
Well, you made a good play yourself, too, when you knocked that ball down.
Well, I just tried to get the glove on the ball. It's a reaction more than anything.
Jack, congratulations. You realize how long it's been since a Tiger pitcher had a no-hitter?
I don't know. I haven't even thought about anything. I'm just glad I did well today, and I'm glad our team won. That's more important than anything. You know, we're 4-0 now, and we're rolling, and we're off to a good start, and we just hope we can keep playing.
Morris's no-hitter gave the first demonstration of how dominant the Tigers could be. They came home with 5 straight road victories, and a huge crowd of over 51,000 greeted them for the home opener with Texas. Dan Petrie with his 4-hitter, Darrell Evans with another 3-run homer, made opening day another happening for Tiger fans. Another victory over the Rangers followed to make it 7 straight wins for Detroit. And then it was on to Boston for the Red Sox home opener. The Tigers showed the East what lay ahead when they exploded for 8 runs in the first and turned in 6 double plays on their way to a rout. After a day off and 2 rainouts, the Tigers made it 9 in a row when they beat Kansas City at home on an error by the usually reliable Frank White.
Game tied 3-3 with Trammell at third base, 2 out, 2-2 count on Herndon. The pitch to Larry. There's a hard smash to White at second, off it. He picks it up, can't pick it up. The run scores, the Tigers win the game. Frank White, one of the great second basemen in the American League, bobbled the ball twice on a hard grounder by Larry Herndon. It's an error on White, permitting Alan Trammell to score an unearned run, and the Tigers have won their 9th in a row, beating Kansas City 4-3.
The Royals' Brett Saberhagen, who just turned 20, ended the Tigers' streak at 9, but the following day, Detroit started a 7-game surge against the White Sox. During this streak, the Tigers played through cold, snowy days and eventually had a rainout with Minnesota that had to be made up the next day as a twinighter. Detroit won both by 1 run, demonstrating how tough they can be in tight games. In the last game of April, Dan Petrie nearly matched the earlier no-hitter by Jack Morris, but George Vukovic scored it with a 2-out double in the 8th. Yet Petrie wasn't a bit upset.
I had my chance, I didn't do it, and now it's just time to go for the team now. You know, I mean, that's what it is. You know, there's no sense in going out for personal goals or whatever it is. You know, we're just concerned about winning games. It doesn't matter if somebody pitches a no-hitter, a 20-hitter, or whatever. As long as we win the game, that's what we want to do.
The Tigers finished April with a remarkable record of 18 wins and just 2 defeats. They had Baltimore and Toronto and New York and Boston looking at the difference in the loss column already. And we had Tom Brookins commenting on that first month.
More than anybody's wildest dreams, you say. Nobody does that. Very few teams in the history of baseball have ever done that. So we're off to a great start. What else can you say? Everything's just going our way. We got a good ball club, and we feel we can win it.
The Tigers began the month of May by proving they weren't perfect. They lost 2 straight one-run decisions to Boston before reeling off 7 more victories in a row, coming from 5 runs down to beat Cleveland in one of them. And in Kansas City, Alan Trammell had people conceding him the MVP after he highlighted a series sweep against the league's most successful relief pitcher, Dan Quisenberry.
Now the tall right-hander checks his sign, sets and deals. Here's a swing and a fly ball. Left field going back his order at the fence, and he won't get it. It's a grand slam for Alan Trammell. And the Tigers have the lead, 5-2.
6 years he's been pitching. I think I've got a couple of hits off, and that's about it. Hit the ball hard a few times, but no hits. This is something very special, especially a game winner. This is such a fantastic start that this is probably the biggest night for me this season.
Were they waiting for you to do it tonight?
Well, I don't know. I don't. That was the first game winner I've had this year. I know that I've contributed a little bit somewhere along the line this season, but. It's just something that we get the guys in scoring position this year. We've been getting them in, and that's been the bottom line so far for us this season.
It's incredible. You just expect somebody's going to do it. Somehow it's going to happen.
That's right. And that's what a lot of the ball games here, that's what we've done. And you know, after we've done it so many times, we expect it. And the one thing, though, when we get a run, we're not getting 1 or 2. We're getting 3, 4, and 5, and that really helps out and takes a lot of the wind out of the sail from the other team.
All right, getting back to the home run. Did you know it was gone?
When I hit it, I realized it was over Ortiz's head. I knew it was a base hit. When I rounded first base, I saw it go out, and my heart started jumping. A grand slam off Quisenberry to put us up in the lead was just something special. I'm very happy about it.
The Tigers went on to split with the Angels before sweeping Seattle and Oakland at home. The season wasn't even 2 months old, and Tiger catcher Lance Parrish was exuding optimism.
Well, I don't think that we probably could play any better, you know, as far as a win-loss standpoint. But I think as far as playing ability on the field and rising to the occasion like we have so many times this season, I think if we ever had our backs against the wall, with the ball club from our division, that I really think that you would begin to see what this ball club is really made out of. And I just have become a very big believer in this club and think that there's nobody that can stand in our way.
Still unbeaten on the road, the Tigers ventured west and swept three from the Angels. They were still featuring the new hero every day theme. Juan Berenguer and Aurelio Lopez teamed up on a five-hitter with 13 strikeouts in Game 1. Lance Parrish blasted a two-run homer to win Game 2, and Jack Morris had a four-hit, 10-strikeout performance in the finale. The Tigers had won every single road game they'd played, all 17, tying the Major League record set by the old New York Giants in 1916. Their overall record was 35-5. Unbelievable. Comparisons were made to the 68 Tigers. Even veteran pitching coach Roger Craig had to pinch himself as he chatted with Frank Beckman.
If there's one thing besides the fact that we have a lot of talent in this ball club, is the fact that they go to the ballpark every day, and it's one game at a time, and they don't really think about records. I didn't even know we broke the Dodger record, 55 Dodger record, and they don't look ahead to the playoffs and the World Series. They come to the ballpark every day just to play one game and to win it.
The 35-5 start is unparalleled in baseball history. The next record to look at is 41-9, if you can look that far ahead, 10 games ahead. But my goodness, nobody has ever done this in the history of the game before. I mean, you almost have to sit back for a week and think about that.
Well, you know, you're right, Frank. And every morning I get up and I look at the paper just to make sure that I'm right. I look at the standings, I say, well, today we won, you know, we're 35-5. We played 40 games and we won 35 of them. I've been in baseball a long time. This is my 25th year in baseball. I've been on some real bad clubs. I've been on some great ball clubs. I've been in four World Series. But to sit here and to be a part of this thing and to watch it day in and day out, and just to, as we go from town to town, all the publicity and the fanfare that we get, it's mind-boggling.
The bubble burst in an unlikely place, Seattle. The Mariners took a page from the Tigers' book. They got good pitching and scored early, and they swept three straight from Detroit. But the Tigers bounced back. They took two out of three in Oakland before heading home for what some call the real season. 14 straight games with second-place Toronto and third-place Baltimore. The Orioles were in town first, and over 47,000 were on hand for the opener of the Tiger series with the defending champions. Paul Chapman chatted with Alan Trammell about the Tigers' mood entering the series.
Well, I would think it's very important. You know, we'd like to win, but I think sometimes, you know, it is the first part of June, and whoever wins this series doesn't necessarily mean they have a lock on the pennant, but it still is important to get off to a good start.
The Tigers looked like world beaters in Game 1, getting homers from Trammell, Lemon, and Parrish while pounding the Orioles 14-2. But Baltimore claimed the next two as Detroit managed only one run against Storm Davis and Mike Flanagan. Then it was Toronto's turn. The nation tuned in on national television to watch the two teams with the best records in baseball. Dave Steeb blanked the Tigers for six innings until Howard Johnson belted a three-run homer to tie. And then came one of the most classic confrontations of the season, Roy Lee Jackson against Dave Bergman. Bergie fouled off pitch after pitch on a 3-2 count with two on in the 10th before a dramatic conclusion.
3-2 count on Bergman. Two on. The pitch from Jackson. There's a fly ball to deep right field. That may be. It is gone. Three-run homer by Dave Bergman. His first home run as a Tiger, and the Tigers beat the Toronto Blue Jays 6-3.
The Blue Jays rebounded to win the next two, and the Tigers' lead shrank to 3.5 games. But Detroit gained a series split when newcomer Rupert Jones hit his first home run in a Tiger uniform.
There's a belt deep to right field down the line. It is a home run into the upper deck, there by about 6 feet. A three-run homer by Rupert Jones. His first Tiger home run, and the Tigers take a 4-1 lead. Parrish scores. Evans scores. Here comes Rupert.
The Tigers then moved on to Baltimore, and on Sunday, June the 10th, they took the heart right out of the Orioles with a doubleheader sweep. Almost 52,000 watched as Lou Whitaker scored five runs in the opener, while Alan Trammell and Kirk Gibson each collected four RBIs, and then Dan Petrie shut out the Birds in the nightcap. The Tigers left town with a seven-game lead. That margin dropped to six when Detroit lost two out of three in Toronto, but that was as close as the Blue Jays would ever get the rest of the way. The Tigers swept three in Milwaukee, one on a shutout by Juan Berenguer, and then it was the Yankees' turn to face the Tigers' steamroller. And the role players carried Detroit.
Kidder getting back up on the mound. Cooks is not getting out of that batter's box. He's still in there waiting. Guidry sets and pitches. There's a swing and a fly ball to right. It'll be a base hit. In the score comes Parrish. Rounding third, headed home is Lemon. Here's a throw cut off by Mattingly, throw to the plate. Not in time. Lemon scores. Two runs in. Herndon takes third on the big hit by Rusty Cook. This game has been mostly pitching. Guidry and Petrie, the starters, still in there dueling against each other. Now the set, the left-handed pitches. There's a fly ball to left. It's deep. Kemp going back. It is out of here. A home run to the Tigers take a lead. Number two for Garvey. Hit one in the lower deck in left field. A line drive. Getting into about the second or third row. Trammell scores, and here comes Garvey. Rounding third and headed home. The Tigers take the lead at 3-1.
Howard Johnson's three-run homer, the 13th, beat the Yanks in Detroit. Rupert Jones became Rooftop Jones when he cleared the right field roof against Milwaukee. But then the Tigers staggered a bit just before the All-Star break. They lost four in a row, including three in Chicago and then split in Texas. But against the Rangers, they lost the services of Alan Trammell for nearly a month with a strained nerve in his right elbow. At the break, the Tigers as a team were a healthy 57-27 and enjoyed a seven-game lead. While Tiger fans were ready to claim a division championship at the break, General Manager Bill LaJoy cautioned that no lead was safe.
There's no safe lead. I know on June 3rd we were 3.5 ahead, and so we've added 3.5 games in a month's time. It's something that can go very quickly or can be added to. We really have had opportunities in the last 10 days to get 10 or 11 ahead, but haven't been able to do that. So it shows the strength of, you know, of all the teams. Teams that didn't play very well early are playing really good now. So, you know, Chicago, Minnesota.
And manager Sparky Anderson said his Tigers needed the three-day rest at All-Star time.
I think when you're playing good, it don't matter who you're playing. And when you're playing bad, I said it don't matter who you're playing. You know, I hope a break, sometimes a three-day break, sometimes gets people away from the grind. Of course, this club's been, this year, an unusual thing, Frank. As you know, the way things went there at the beginning, they were just hounded every day, you know. And I would say that they could use the 3 days to just be away from it.
The Tigers resumed play after the All-Star break in Minnesota. After losing the first game, they got hot again. It started with an 11-inning win over the Twins on Lou Whitaker's inside-the-park home run. But it would not have been possible without a game-saving defensive play by Kirk Gibson.
Bucket stands deep, bend at the knees, waiting on Hernandez. He sets some pitches. There's a bounding ball to first, two for a base hit. Here's Gibson charging them. He'll play at the plate, the throw to Parrish, and he is out at the plate. Out at the plate is Topol on the throw from Gibson to Parrish to keep the Tigers alive. What a play by Gibson. He charged the ball in right field, came up throwing, fired to Parrish, who put the tag on Tuffle, and the game stays tied at 3-3 at the end of nine.
During the next 2 weeks, the Tigers won 11 out of 12. Willie Hernandez won two games and saved four others in that stretch, and the lead was up to 11.5. On the last day of July, the Tigers led by 12.5 before running into the most exhausting stretch of games on their schedule. Six doubleheaders in 2.5 weeks. They dropped 6 out of 7, including 4 in a row at home to Kansas City, the last two in a doubleheader. In the next two nights, there were two more twin bills in Boston, and the Tigers split those, one with the help of a defensive gem by Chet Lemon.
He swings, there's a drive to deep center field. Lemon way back. He reaches, he makes the catch. What a catch by Chet Lemon. The throwback to second, and Rice gets back in time. What a catch. He outran the ball. I didn't think he had a chance at it.
What a great catch by Chet Lemon near the garage door out in straightaway center field with his back to the diamond, raced and caught it over his shoulder. Superb.
But the Tigers survived that week as Lance Parrish hit five homers and Aurelio Lopez pitched well when the Tigers needed it most. Three wins and a save in 1 week. And when the Tigers recovered from the tough schedule, they rebuilt their lead to 12.5 games against West Coast teams. And it became slam time, first for Lance Parrish against the A's, then for Chet Lemon in Anaheim. 2-0 Oakland leads in the first. Sorensen delivers. Here's a swing and a high fly ball deep left. And that is long gone. It is a grand slam for Lance Parrish. A 4-2 lead for the Tigers. Another 3-2 pitch due to Chet Lemon. Kaufman ready to go to work. Bases loaded. Two men out. Here's the set. Here's the pitch. He swings, and there's a long fly ball to left. Going back is Downing. He's at the wall, and he leaps toward the seats, and he does not get it. It is a grand slam for Chet Lemon. Gibson scores. Perry scores. Herndon scores. Here comes Lemon with the third Tiger Grand Slam of the season. And the Tigers have the lead 6-0 in the third inning.
In the sixth inning, Lemon lost a fly ball in the sun, was hit above the right eye, and was put out of action for almost 2 weeks. But as was the case all year, the Tigers overcame adversity. They had to. It was September. The days were growing short, and so was the race for the title. Toronto and Baltimore knew they had to make up ground quickly. And the Orioles came into Detroit to take two in a row. But then came one of the games that Sparky Anderson called a key to the season. Juan Berenguer shut out the Birds on two hits for 7 1/3 innings. And Hernandez closed it out.
Set by Willie. He delivers. Sakata hits a fly ball to left. Here comes Herndon. He's there. He's got it. The Tigers win. Sakata flies to left. The game is over. The Tigers get one they needed badly. In the ninth for Baltimore, no runs, one hit, no Tiger errors, two Orioles, the left on the perches, and the final score, Tiger Stadium, Detroit 1, Baltimore nothing.
Next came the series Blue Jay fans had been waiting for, but so had Tiger fans, and 10,000 of them poured into Toronto. And on Friday night, September 7th, at Exhibition Stadium, the Tigers began a series sweep that would almost assure them the division title. In the opener, the Jays led 4-0. Doyle Alexander blanked Detroit for 7 innings. But in the 8th, Kirk Gibson sparked the comeback.
Strike one count. Here's the pitch. There's a swing and a fly ball. It's a deep right. Going back, and it's gone. A home run. A three-run homer by Gibson. Over the wall. That pulls the Tigers within one. Number 24 for Gibson. Bell went right back to the wall. He had his back to the wall. He looked up. It cleared the wall by a couple of feet. And the Tigers are within one. They trail it 4-3.
A bases loaded walk to Lemon then tied the game. And in the 10th, history repeated itself. Dave Bergman, who had collected a double and two singles despite missing the 8 previous games with a bad back, came to the plate with 2 on in the 10th.
He cuts. There's a drive to deep right center field. That is deep. That is gone. It's a three-run homer for Dave Bergman. And the Tigers take a 7-4 lead. Brookins scores. Chester clapping. Heads toward the plate. Here comes Bergman with his fourth hit of the ball game. A three-run homer. Home run number 7 for Dave. And it's 7-4 Detroit.
The Blue Jays were all but finished. The Tigers completed the sweep with 2 more wins over the weekend as John Grubb, the gentleman from Virginia, hit 3 homers and Kurt Gibson added another 3-run shot. The Tigers reduced their magic number from 15-9 in the span of just 3 days. Toronto returned to visit Tiger Stadium. Milt Wilcox won his 17th by throwing a one-hitter for 7 innings and the Blue Jays left town trailing by 12. The magic number was now 2 and it was just a matter of time. Tiger fans thought the heroes had it wrapped up on Monday night when Lou Whitaker keyed a 6-run sixth inning against Milwaukee.
1-1 to Lou. There's a long belt to right field. That may be out of here. It is gone. A grand slam home run by Lou Whitaker. And the Tigers take a 7-2 lead over Milwaukee. A grand slammer by Sweet Lou. Here he comes. And high fives at the plate. He gets his helmet rubbed, all smiles, going back. This place has gone bananas.
However, the Blue Jays rallied to beat Boston, and the celebration had to be delayed, but only for 24 hours. Because Tuesday night, September the 18th, the Tigers joined the legendary 1927 Yankees as the only team ever to go wire-to-wire. They clinched it with the help of a 24-year-old rookie right-hander, Randy O'Neill, who stamped his name indelibly in Tiger history. In his first start, O'Neill shut out Milwaukee on 4 hits for 7 innings, and he left with a 3-0 lead. Then, fittingly, Willie Hernandez was given the job of sewing up the division title.
One more out, and the Tigers are the Eastern champions. 2-2 the count on him. Here's the set, the pitch. He swings and misses. The Tigers win the Eastern Division. And they go out to congratulate Willie Hernandez. He's being mobbed, and the police now are ringing the field. Some of the fans are on the field, and all the excitement of the season has broken loose here at Tiger Stadium.
And after Jim Sundberg struck out, we finally could celebrate. And how the Tigers celebrated. Most for the first time, all with a great satisfaction and plenty of bubbly thrown in.
It's been a long time coming.
A long time, too long. I hope that we can take this all the way. This is probably the most fun anybody's had in a long, long time. And I hope it lasts all night. You know, I can't get enough of this. I hope we can take it all the way and win the championship.
Doesn't matter to you who you play in the Western Division.
I don't care who we play. I know we're going to beat them, so it doesn't matter.
I'll tell you, it's not just been mine, Paul. It's been the whole team. I couldn't have had this year without everybody on the team. Willie, Lopey, Lance, Trammell. I'll tell you what, it's been a team effort this year, and you've seen it all year long.
Oh. Jim, congratulations.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, Paul. It's been a long uphill battle, you know, and it's just great. It's a great bunch of ball players, and I can't say enough for the job that Sparky's done.
Mr. Spencer, this has got to be a great moment for you. It's not your ball club, but yet it is.
Indeed it is my ball club, because we've built it. We've been with it all these years, and there isn't any way that this ball club can be taken away from me, because it's my ball club, it's my kids.
We had a great start, but Toronto was right on our tail all the way. I was scared to death of Toronto all season, until the last weekend when we swept them, the weekend before last. Then I relaxed a little bit.
The game on Friday night, was that the game that did it for you in Toronto?
I knew we had to win 1-3, and we came from behind and won that one, and that was the whole season to me right there.
Well, there were certainly big home runs, but you don't get in a situation like that unless your other teammates kind of set the table. You know, I've been fortunate a couple of times this year to come up with some big hits, but without 24 guys on this ball club to set the table, I don't get that opportunity.
We keep talking about in a short series pitching, it comes down. We're talking about the opposition. They got to be thinking the same thing about the Detroit Tigers.
Right, and it all comes down to pitching. I'm the pitching coach. I'm going to make them win.
Dad, it's got to be a great feeling for you.
No, it is. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's just the whole feeling. You know, you finally figure out why you're playing this game, and it isn't for the money. It isn't for anything else but to get that ring on your finger. And this is it right here. This is a celebration. I hope we can do it a lot in the years to come.
Kirk, what a great season you've had. Congratulations.
Well, thanks, Paul. You know, I tell you, earlier I went in and I talked to Sparky about this, and I try not to get too excited, and, you know, everybody wants to keep things in perspective because we want to do this 3 times this year.
I'm telling you, this is a great feeling, Paul. You can't say enough for these guys. We bared down all year long. It wasn't as easy as it seemed. We fought as hard as we could, and we ran through some tough spells, but we just kept battling it.
Nothing tops this. The emotion of the people here in Detroit the last week has just been really something to remember.
Well, it's a great season for you, too, Jack. Kind of a strange one for you. Well, start with that no-hitter to begin with, and then you had some arm problems.
Well, it's been an up-and-down kind of year for me, but the overall end result is all that really matters. You know, a lot of times guys on a losing ball club might be playing for personal achievements this time of year, and fortunately for this club, it's been a team for it all year long.
I wanted this day for a long time. We're going to enjoy it for a couple days, but I think we're going to be relaxed, and hopefully I'd like to finish the season strong and go into the playoffs playing very good baseball.
Well, another fellow who stayed with you, and it was symbolic that he got the final out, Willie Hernandez.
I never seen nothing like it. I know we've talked about that many times. A man go out 30 times and have 30 saves, you know. They say, you know, I'm Catholic, they say the Pope is infallible on religion. Well, I like to use that for one reason. If he's infallible on religion, I know Willie Hernandez is infallible on saving games.
And into the wee hours of the morning it went, a night to remember, September the 18th. But the Tigers couldn't dwell on that night too long, because they knew that after the final 11 games, there was more work ahead. and the Tigers rose to the occasion again. Jack Morris and Dan Peacher were sharp in the closing week and a half, raising their victory totals to 19 and 18 respectively. Willie Hernandez finished with 9 wins and 32 saves out of 33 opportunities. The Tigers never lost a game in which they held the lead entering the ninth. And when the regular season ended on September the 30th in New York, Sparky had the Tigers ready for the second season, Beyond the Wire. Some unfounded skepticism about the Tigers entering the American League playoffs at Kansas City on Tuesday night, October the 2nd. They'd won more games than any other club in team history at 104. They seemed to have every ingredient you'd want in a championship ball club. Power, speed, strong pitching, outstanding defense. And yet many outsiders still didn't believe in the Tigers. They said the Tigers coasted to the division title, losing sight of those key series against Toronto and Baltimore. They said the Tigers' pitching wasn't strong enough because it lacked the left-hand starter, losing sight of the fact that the Tigers led the American League in earned run average for the second time in 3 years. The skeptics thought the Royals would beat the Tigers because Kansas City featured two left-handed starters and Detroit would be playing the first two games of the best 3 out of 5 series on the road. They forgot that the Tigers had more wins against left-handers than any other team in the league and featured the best home and road records in baseball. In short, this was a team that had proven itself over the long haul. They could beat you in many different ways with pitching, defense, speed, or their major league leading 187 home runs. If the Tigers had one tendency that repeated itself again and again during the 1984 season, it was their ability to take an early lead. 60 times they scored in the first inning of a game, and they were to stamp that trademark on the postseason as well. In the opener of the American League Championship Series, Jack Morris pitched against the Royals' left-hander Bud Black, and the Tigers put their stamp on the game in a hurry as Lou Whitaker led off with a single and Alan Trammell brought him around.
Left-hander kicks and deals. Trammell swings. There's a fly ball to left. Going back is Motley. He's deep and he won't get it. It's off the wall. Here comes Whitaker rounding third. He will score. Allen going for third. Here's the throw. It's wide of the bag and he's in with a triple more than likely. We'll wait for the score, but it is a triple.
2 batters later, the Tigers expanded their lead.
Black trying to get out of deeper trouble. Winds and left hands one at the plate. It swung on. There's a long fly to right center. Going way back is Wilson and also the right fielder Sheridan. And Sheridan makes the catch. Here's a tag by Trammell. He'll score. Great catch by Pat Sheridan.
With a 2-0 lead in the third, the Tigers turned to the defense to stop the Royals. Kansas City had loaded the bases against Morris with 2 out, and one of the most dangerous hitters in baseball stepped to the plate, George Brett.
Morris tried to hold him off, winds and pitches, and Brett swings as they drive to right. Here comes Gibson, and he's got it on the run. A good running catch by Gibson. The ball sinking on him, and Gibson followed it and gloved it on the way in.
Gibson's play was an example of how all the work in spring training could pay off because Kirk, who once said he didn't want to play right field, had put in long hours at Lakeland learning the position from Hall of Famer Al Kaline. And now the lessons had turned dividends. In the next inning, the fourth, Detroit added yet another run.
Now the windup by Black. He kicks and delivers. There's a long belt toward the left field corner. That may be. It's gone. A home run for Larry Herndon on the second pitch of the Tiger fourth inning. And the Tigers have a 3-0 lead.
And in the fifth, the Tigers used the long ball again.
Here's the kick, the pitch by Black. High fly ball, down the line, deep, that might be. Back is Motley. It's gone. A home run for Alan Trammell. 2 leadoff homers in a row by the Tigers. Herndon in the fourth. Trammell hits one here in the fifth inning. Allen with a triple, a walk, and now a home run has lifted the Tiger lead to 4-0.
Detroit got another run in the seventh and two in the eighth, while Kansas City could cross the plate only once against Morris. And in the ninth, it was time for one final home run by Lance Parrish.
7-1, the Tigers lead the Royals in the ninth. There's a high fly ball left field deep. Motley going back at the fence, and he leaps, and he will not get it. It is a home run for Lance Parrish, just in the front row. The umpire, Jordan, signals home run, and the Tigers get another run to lead it 8-1.
And Willie Hernandez was called on to close out Morris's five-hitter.
One strike away from a Tiger victory here in Kansas City. Outfield is to left, the infield deep on Balboni. 2-2 pitch coming up from Willie Hernandez. The left hander winds and pitches. Swing, a bounding ball to first base. Bergman gloves it, the race of the bag. Won by Bergman, and the Tigers go one up on the Royals. They win it in good fashion here as they take the first game of the series.
The Tigers had 8 runs, 14 hits, and no errors. Kansas City had 1 run, 5 hits, and 1 error. Morris the winner, Black the loser. Detroit led the series 1 game to none. In Game 2 the next night, Dan Petrie got the starting nod for Detroit against Royal right-hander Brett Saberhagen. Saberhagen was a rookie, but one of the two opposing pitchers to beat the Tigers 3 times during the season. But this was a postseason, and while neither starter was around to pick up the decision, the Tigers would prove they could win a close, pressure-packed game, even against a more experienced playoff team like the Royals. Game 2 started much like Game 1. Lou Whitaker was safe on an error by shortstop Onyx Concepcion. And after Alan Trammell was retired, Kurt Gibson came through.
Here's a swing and a line drive to right. It is a fair ball in the corner. Rounding third, headed home is Whitaker. It'll be a two-base hit for Gibson. He holds at the double, and the Tigers have a 1-0 lead in the opening inning.
Lance Parrish followed with another two-bagger.
Here's the step, the 2-1 pitch. Swung on, there's a line drive, base hit to right. That'll score Gibson and make it 2-0 Tigers. Parrish digging around first, heads for second. Sheridan Stowe will not be in time. Another Tiger double, another Tiger run. They lead it 2-0 in the first.
In the third inning, Kurt Gibson struck again.
3-2, the count on Gibson. Saberhagen delivers. There's a fly ball at the deep center. Willie Wilson going back, way back, way back. He won't get it. It's a long goner for Kurt Gibson, a home run, and the Tigers have a 3-0 lead.
Kansas City got a run on George Orta's bounce out in the fourth, and then tightened things even further in the seventh with the help of a pinch hitter, Dane Orge.
It's a 2-0 pitch from Petrie, and a swing and a line drive hit off the glove of Whitaker into right field. White will score, and holding it second is Swan. That was strictly a turfer, a sharp one-hopper that passed the glove of Lou Whitaker into right field, and the Royals have pulled within one of the Tigers in the seventh.
Willie Hernandez took over for Petrie in the eighth inning and tried to protect the 3-2 lead, but Willie was weakened by the flu and obviously didn't have it on this night. Lynn Jones got a pinch single against his former teammates, and after George Brett struck out, the Royals tied the game and set a LCS record with their third pinch hit of the night, this one by Hal McRae.
Lynn Jones trying to establish a lead at first base. Here's the right-hander batting McRae at the plate now against the Tiger left-hander Willie Hernandez. And Max swings as a drive to left. It is a fair ball in the corner. Lynn Jones coming around third. He will score on this one. McRae has the double, and the game is tied 3-3 in the eighth inning.
Hernandez escaped further trouble in the eighth and retired from the game because of his flu. Aurelio Lopez took over for Detroit, while the league's ace reliever, Dan Quisenberry, came on for the Royals. In the bottom of the ninth, Kansas City got the speedy Willie Wilson aboard with a two-out walk, and the Tigers were looking for the steal.
Wilson had 47 steals in the regular season. There he goes, the pitch out. Here's the throw by Parrish. He is out at second base. Parrish cut him down on the throw to Whitaker. They cut down to Willie Wilson, and that sends the game into extra innings. At the end of nine, Tigers 3, the Royals 3.
The Royals threatened to get off Lopez in the 10th, but Steve Balboni flied to deep left center with two on and two out. On the bench, Kurt Gibson, the series MVP, was thinking that this was as tense a game as he could remember.
This is the most a pressure-filled game that I've ever played in. There's no doubt about it. Every pitch, every swing of the bat, every, you know, just everything was very, very tense. And
when we were in extra innings, I was sitting on the bench, and I said to myself, Gibby, relax now, because when you get back on that field, it's just, there's no time to relax, you know. You just have to have great, great concentration. For instance, when Don Slott hit that ball on the right field line, I got to have a good jump to catch that ball. If I don't have a good jump, that ball's trouble. So these are the type of things that you got to do.
In the 11th, the Tigers broke through. Lance Parrish led off with a single. Then Darrell Evans, in what he was to call the most important plate appearance of his career, bunted down the first baseline, and Royal catcher Don Slott mishandled the ball for an error. Rupert Jones bunted, but Quisenberry forced Parrish at third. That set the table for John Grubb.
1-2 pitch. There's a drive toward right center field. Wilson on the run, racing after it. It's over his head at the base of the wall, bouncing off the wall. Here comes one man home, Evans. Right behind him is Rupert Jones. The throw, not in time. Two men in on the double by Johnny Grubb. And the Tigers take a 5-3 lead here in the top of the 11th inning.
Now it was up to Lopez to close the door, give the Tigers a commanding 2-0 lead in the series. The Royals put two men on base, and former Tiger Lynn Jones stepped to the plate.
Jones back in the batter's box now. Two strikes on Lynn. Runners at first and second, two out here in the bottom of the 11th inning. The pitch from Lopez. There's a drive to right field. Gibson comes on. It may be the ball game. He's got it. And the Tigers win in extra innings here at Kansas City. Lynn Jones lines out to Gibson in right field. The Tigers take game two of the American League Championship Series in 11 innings by a 5-3 score.
Five runs, eight hits, one error for the Tigers. Three runs, 10 hits, and three errors for Kansas City. Lopez the winner, Quisenberry the loser. The Tigers ahead in the series, 2-0. After a day off, the series shifted to Detroit for Game 3 on Friday night, October the 5th. Milt Wilcock would try to clinch the pennant for the Tigers against the crafty left-hander Charlie Lee Brandt. Over 52,000 were in the stands at Tiger Stadium waiting to cut loose. Detroit didn't score in the first, one of only two times they would fail to do so in the postseason. But they did score in the second. Marlboro Garbe beat out a grounder to second. Chet Lemon forced him, but Darrell Evans moved Lemon to third with a single to center. And then an innocent ground ball turned out to be the difference in the game.
Castillo swings ground ball to short. Concepcion over to White. There's one. The relay to first. Not in time. The run scores. Lemon crosses the plate. The Tigers take a 1-0 lead in the second.
The Tigers weren't to score again this night. In fact, they failed to get another hit after the second inning. They didn't have to because Milt Wilcox was pitching perhaps the best game of his career. He allowed only a one-out single to Brett in the fourth, another to Don Slott in the eighth. And when the ninth inning rolled around with a crowd on its feet cheering for every pitch, it was Willie time. Hernandez's first victim was Lynn Jones.
Here's Jones, who hit 301 for the year. He's batting for Sheridan. And Lynn swings. There's a fly ball to left center. Goes Lemon over. He's got it. One away. Two to go. It'll be a pennant for the Tigers.
The ever-dangerous George Brett was next.
Willie pitches. Brett swings. Bounding ball deep first. Evans has it. Two down. One to go.
Pinch hitter Hal McRae then beat out a grounder to Trammell at deep short, but Darryl Motley couldn't save the Royals.
Ball one, the count on Motley. Here's the pitch. Motley swings. There's a pop foul off a third. It may be the pennant. Castillo has it, and the Tigers have won the American League pennant. Their first since 1968. Willie Hernandez, hugged by his teammates. The police are trying to keep the spectators off the field. Some have broken from the center field area, and the Tigers are celebrating their ninth American League pennant here tonight at the corner of Michigan and Trumbull. What a night this has been. Great pitching by Wilcox and Hernandez. Wilcox setting him up, blanking them with only two hits through eight innings. Hernandez coming in and putting the lid on it and bringing the Tigers their first American League pennant since 1968.
One run, three hits, and no errors for the pennant-winning Tigers. No runs, three hits, and three errors for the Royals. Wilcox the winner, Hernandez with a save. Charlie LeBrant, the tough luck loser. The skeptics were quieted, and in the Tiger clubhouse, the champagne was pouring again. The Tigers had a weekend off to celebrate their pennant. They only found out late Sunday that the Padres came from 2 games down to beat the Cubs in the National League Championship Series, and Sunday night they boarded their World Series-bound charter flight to the West Coast to begin the Fall Classic in San Diego. Both the Tigers and Padres worked out at San Diego Jack Murphy Stadium on Monday, the day before the series started. Both clubs seemed to enjoy all the attention associated with the World Series, which provided an intriguing matchup. The Tigers, built through their own farm system by John Fetzer, against the Padres, built through the free agent system by the late Ray Kroc. Sparky Anderson, the first manager to win pennants in both leagues, against Dick Williams, who did it a short time later. Both trying to become the first manager to win the World Series in both leagues. The two friendly protagonists who had managed their clubs against each other in the 72 series, with Williams A's beating Sparky's Reds in seven games. This time it wouldn't be as close. The series opened on Tuesday, October the 9th, in beautiful 72-degree California weather. Tiger ace Jack Morris went to the mound against Padres left-hander Mark Thurman. And the Tigers immediately went to their trademark, with Lou Whitaker leading off.
Thurman works off the first base side of the slab. He winds, he pitches. There's a swing and a fly ball to center field. Brown going back, it's deep, and he won't get it. It's off the wall. Whitaker going for two, and he has a leadoff double. He hit the ball to deep left center.
Alan Trammell then put the Tigers ahead.
Trammell digs in to wait on another 3-2 delivery from the crafty left-hander. The pitch. Swung on. There's a line drive to left. It'll be in for a hit. Here comes Whitaker around third. He's being waved at the plate. Here's a throw. Not in time. It is cut off. And the Tigers jump in front of the open game on a single by Trammell, getting Lou Whitaker home from second base. 1-0 Detroit in the opening inning.
The Tigers didn't score again despite two more hits in the first. And in the bottom of the inning, the Padres took a page out of the Tigers' book. Steve Garvey and Greg Nettles singled after two were out, bringing Terry Kennedy to the plate.
Now the set by Jack. He deals. There's a line shot to right field. It'll be a hit. Might get two runs in. Here comes Garvey. He'll score. Nettles is right behind him. He's rounding third. He's coming home. There goes Kennedy to third. The play comes to the plate. Kennedy makes third. 2-1 Padres.
A 2-1 lead stood through four innings as Morris and Thurman settled down, but Thurman was throwing a lot of pitches. 92 through four innings. He got Trammell to lead off the fifth, then picked off Gibson after walking him, but Lance Parrish doubled down the left field line, and Larry Herndon was batting when Thurman threw his 110th pitch.
Here's the set, 3-1 pitch. Swung on, a fly ball, deep right field. Going back is Gwynn. He's at the track. He's looking. It's gone. A two-run homer by Larry Herndon. And the Tigers take a 3-2 lead here in the fifth inning over San Diego. Parrish has scored. Here comes Herndon heading home. The Tigers in front 3-2.
Jack Morris yielded singles to Nettles and Kennedy to start the sixth, but then Jack got tough. He struck out Bobby Brown and Carmelo Martinez and capped off his personal triple crown against Gary Templeton.
Morris almost out of it here. He has struck out the last two men. Here's the 1-2 pitch. He struck out three in a row, leaving two men on after the opening singles by Nettles and Kennedy. Bam, bam, bam. Jack punched out three straight.
The Padres had one more chance when Kurt Bevacqua led off the seventh.
Here's the pitch on the way. Swung on, the bounding ball to right. Base hit, down in the bullpen. Chased by Gibson. Bevacqua going for two. Gibson picks up the ball in the corner. Bevacqua headed for three. Here's the throw by Whitaker to Castillo. He's out at third. A great relay by Whitaker cut down Bevacqua at third base.
Morris, who was getting stronger as the game went on, retired the last six in order, including Templeton, to end it.
Crowd still on its feet here in San Diego. 3-2, the Tigers lead in the last half of the ninth inning. Base is empty with two out. Templeton waiting on a 2-2 pitch. Swing and the ground ball to first base. Bergman has it, makes the play unassisted. The Tigers have won the first game of the World Series. As Morris sets them down 1-2-3 in the ninth inning, and the Tigers come out on top in game number one. In the ninth, nothing across for the San Diego Padres. And the final score here in California tonight, the Tigers 3 and San Diego 2.
3 runs, 8 hits, no errors for the Tigers, who were blanked on one hit by Andy Hawkins and Dave Grabecki after Herndon's homer. 2 runs, 8 hits, 1 error for the Padres. Morris the winner, Thurman the loser. Dan Petrie got the call for the Tigers in game two, while San Diego went with Ed Whitson. But he wouldn't be around long. Lou Whitaker hit the first pitch for a single. Alan Trammell did the same with the second pitch, and Kurt Gibson greeted Whitson's third offering.
Here's the set for the right-hander. He pitches, and there's a line shot to right center. It's in for a hit. Whitaker will score easily. Trammell races for third. He'll make it easily there. The Tigers lead 1-0 in the opening inning. Man on first, man on third, nobody down.
three straight singles, greeting Ed Whitson.
Lance Parrish brought in the second run with a long foul fly to left, and then Darrell Evans delivered.
Here's a pitch. He swings his a little looper back into left field. It'll be dropping in for a base hit, and the run will score. Gibson crosses the plate. The Tigers have a 3-0 lead in the opening inning.
Whitson left after John Grubb's single later in the inning, and the Tigers wouldn't score again on this night. Andy Hawkins and Craig Leffert silenced Detroit's bats on two hits over the final eight and the third innings. Meantime, the Padres chipped away at the Tiger lead with one run in the bottom of the first, another in the fourth, and then in the fifth, with a man on and one out, Terry Kennedy hit a hard double play ball at Lou Whitaker, but the ball took a bad hop on San Diego's rock-hard infield, and the Padres had two on board for Kurt Bevacqua, their designated hitter, who had hit just one homer during the regular season.
Tigers looking for something on the ground they can handle and start a double play with. There's a fly ball, deep left field, Rupert is back, that could be trouble, it's gone. Kurt Bevacqua hits a three-run homer, and the Padres take a 5-3 lead.
Sparky Anderson used four other pitchers after Bevacqua's blast off Petrie. Aurelio Lopez, Bill Scherer, Doug Baer, and Willie Hernandez closed the door on the Padres, but San Diego won anyway as Hawkins and Lefferts retired 24 of the last 26 Tiger batters. Five runs, 11 hits, no errors for the Padres. Three runs, seven hits, three errors for the Tigers. Hawkins the winner, Lefferts with a save, Petrie the loser. The Tigers left San Diego with a split, and Sparky Anderson admitted his disappointment.
We were 2-0. I thought we'd be 2-0 when we went home or not. You know, I just don't like to lose. I want to win every night.
After the overnight flight home, Sparky gave his players Thursday off to keep them away from the media hordes. On Friday night, the Tigers literally walked to a victory in Game 3, which was less than a fall classic. Tim Lawler started against Milt Wilcox and gave an indication of things to come when he walked two batters in the first. Both teams left two on base and failed to score. In the bottom of the second, Lawler was one strike away from retiring the Tigers. Lemon on third, two out, and Marty Castillo at bat.
Lawler gets a look to third. Lemon not coming down the line. He just sort of sauntering down a couple of steps. Here's a pitch. Marty swings. Long belt to left. That one is gone. A home run. A 2-0 lead for the Tigers in the second inning.
Lou Whitaker then drew a walk, and Alan Trammell delivered.
Now the big left-hander holds it at the belt and pitches. Trammell swings as a line drive hit to left field. Down in the corner, chased down by Martinez. Here's Whitaker rounding third. He's being waved home. Here's a relay by Templeton. Not in time. The ball gets by Kennedy. He's backed up by Lala. Trammell holds it second. The Tigers lead 3-0.
Kurt Gibson walked. Lance Parrish got an infield hit, and reliever Greg Booker walked Herndon to force in a run. The Tigers had a 4-0 lead and then left five men on base in two innings. The Padres cut the Detroit lead to three with a run at the top of the third, but Booker and another reliever, Greg Harris, faltered in the bottom of the inning. Three walks, loaded the bases for Kurt Gibson.
Evans, Whitaker, and Trammell on the bases for the Tigers. Here's the windup, the pitch to Gibson, and it hit him, I believe. And he'll go to first base. That'll force another run in. The Tigers have a 5-1 lead. Gibson did not move out of the way. The ball came in on the foot and hit him either on the foot or the ankle and bounced away. And the Tigers get their fifth run to lead 5-1.
But San Diego wouldn't quit. Tony Gwynn single. Garvey doubled him to third with one out in the seventh. Greg Nettles hit a sacrifice fly off Bill Scherer, and that brought Willie Hernandez in to pitch against Terry Kennedy.
Now looks in to get the sign from Lance Parrish. It's a 3-2 pitch to Terry Kennedy. Here it comes. He swings as a fly ball to center. Lemon going back, still back, reaches, makes a catch for the out. A good running catch by Lemon. He turned twice on it and hauled it in deep center.
Lemon's catch pretty much sealed it for the Tigers, who finished with five runs, seven hits, and no errors, to San Diego's two runs, 10 hits, and no errors. Padres pitchers tied a series record by walking 11. The Tigers tied a series record by leaving 14 on base. And the two teams broke a series record by leaving a combined total of 24 on base. But the most important statistics show the Tigers with a 2-1 lead. Jack Morris made his second series start on Saturday in Game 4 against Eric Schau, who led the Padres with 15 wins in the regular season. But in the playoffs, Schau had allowed five Cub homers in five innings of work. His luck didn't change in the first inning of this game. Lou Whitaker reached base on an error by Alan Wiggins, and Alan Trammell came up against the team he used to watch as a youngster.
Two hits per game for Trammell so far, total of six. Here's the pitch. He swings. There's a drive to left. It's deep. It is way back, and it is gone! A two-run homer by Campbell. A 2-0 lead for the Tigers in the first inning.
After a Whitaker single in the third, Campbell faced Shaw again.
Shaw ready, kicks and deals. Here's a swing, and there's another drive to left. It's deep, and this one is gone! The second home run by Campbell. And the Tigers now lead it 4-1. Whitaker scores. Here comes Trammell running home his second consecutive home run.
While Trammell was providing the offensive punch, Jack Morris was limiting the Padres to just 5 hits in another strong postseason performance. Especially when you consider he was working on 3 days rest after throwing 135 pitches in Game 1. And he closed the game by retiring Terry Kennedy, who had homered off him earlier.
2-2 the count on Kennedy. Two out of the ninth inning. Tigers lead it 4-2. Here's the windup, and here's the pitch, and he swings as a drive to right. Gibson there. He's got it. The Tigers win it, and they take the series lead, 3-1. Parrish goes out to congratulate Morris. Here come the other Tigers to join in on the celebration of the victory here at Tigers Stadium on this Saturday afternoon. In the ninth inning, San Diego, one run, one hit. No errors, nobody left. The final score, Detroit 4, San Diego 2.
4-7-0 for Detroit, 2-5-2 for San Diego. Morris the winner for the second time in the series. Shaw the loser. The Tigers were one win away from the World Series championship. Detroit was primed for its biggest celebration in 16 years on Sunday, October the 14th. The Tigers needed one more victory for their first World's Championship since 1968. It was Dan Petrie against Mark Thurman. And in the first, Lou Whitaker cut down the speedy Allen Wiggins at the plate on a Garvey grounder to keep the game scoreless. In the bottom of the inning, with one on and one out, the Tigers went to that patented come-from-ahead style of theirs.
Wind blowing from the right field corner toward the left field corner, but not much of a breeze here this afternoon in Detroit. There's a swing and a long one, it's gone! A home run by Gibson! Upstairs, 2-0 Tigers in the first inning.
Then after Lance Parrish and Larry Herndon reached base, Chet Lemon came through.
Man at third, Parrish, man at first, Herndon, one man down, the 1-0 pitch. He swings, there's a base hit to left, Parrish will score to make it 3-0. Herndon stops at second.
San Diego came from behind to tie the game at 3, but the Tigers finally solved the riddle of the Padres relievers. With the bases loaded in the fifth and left-hander Craig Lefferts into pitch, Sparky Anderson reached down to that deep bench he'd utilized all year. Rusty Kuntz came up to pinch hit for John Grubb.
It's Gibson at third, Herndon at second, Lemon at first. One out in the Tiger fifth inning, game tied 3-3. Craig Lefferts, the left-hander, looking in at Kennedy. Ready to work, here's the set, the pitch to Rusty. He swings and pops it up, short right field. That's not going to bring anybody in. Out goes Wiggins. The second baseman makes the catch. Gibson's coming home. Here's the throw, and it's not in time. Oh, he fooled him. Gibson tagged. He lulled him into believing nobody was going to come home. And then Gibson raced down the line and scored well ahead of the throw. The Tigers take a 4-3 lead.
The Tigers increased that lead in the seventh when Dick Williams brought in ace reliever Rich Gossage to pitch to Lance Parrish, and the Tiger catcher delivered a goose buster.
The windup in the pitch. He swings as a drive to left. It's deep. Martinez going back. He leaps. He won't get it. It is a home run for Parrish, and the Tigers have a 5-3 lead.
Kurt Bravacqua gave the Padres hope when he homered off Willie Hernandez in the eighth to make it a 5-4 game, but Kurt Gibson took all the hope away from the Padres and Gossage in the bottom of the inning.
Ball one on Kurt. Here's the pitch. He swings as a long drive to right, and it is a home run for Gibson. A 3-run homer. The Tigers lead it 8-4 in the eighth inning.
Now it was three outs standing between the Tigers and their dream. Hernandez faced Gary Templeton leading off the ninth.
Hernandez cut for a home run by Bavacqua to pull his score to 5-4. And then Gibson made it 8-4 with a home run with two men on. Ground ball to Trammell. He gloves it near second. Throw to first. One down. Two to go for the Tiger championship.
Bruce Sabochi singled, and Ron Renicki ran for him. That brought up Allen Wiggins.
Here's a set by Willie, ready to work again. The pitch on the way, swung on and popped in the air, should be caught. It's a foul between home and third. Parrish is there. He's got it. One to go for the World's Championship for the Tigers.
And now all that stood in the Tigers' way was the Major League's leading hitter, Tony Gwynn.
Rinicky off the bag at first. The pitch, he swings, and there's a fly ball to left. Here comes Herndon. He's there. He's got it. The Tigers are the champions of 1984. They race on the field of Bob Hernandez. The Tigers have won the World Series. They are the champions of the world in 1984. The police are trying to contain the crowd here now. They're going to have a tough time doing it. The Tigers are trying to head for safety of their dugout. The police have circled the field, but a lot of the exuberant Tiger fans are on the field, and it will take some doing to get them back in the stands. The Tigers are the world champions of 1984.
Thousands had ringed Tiger Stadium and were in the streets around Michigan in trouble throughout the afternoon. And even before the final line score, Detroit 8-11-1, San Diego 4-10-1 had been announced. Even before it was announced that Andy Hawkins was a loser, Aurelio Lopez the winner, Willie Hernandez the save, and Alan Trammell the series MVP, Tiger fans were celebrating in the streets. And Paul Chapman covered the start of the night-long party.
This is Paul Chapman on a wild Michigan Avenue right now. The fans have just heard the final out. The Tigers for their first world championship since 1968. It's an absolute mob scene out here. Traffic has been closed. The fans are going bananas. What do you think of this Tiger victory?
Yes!
This is the biggest thing that's happened that you can remember in your life.
Yes, it is.
Being a big part of it. We're only 5 years old the last time, and we're rocking tonight. So this is one you can remember for a while.
Inside the old ballpark, the Tigers were holding a celebration of their own.
Jack, we're on live on the Tiger Network. Congratulations.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Oh,
what a two great games you pitched in the World Series.
Well, I'll tell you, I gave it all I had. There's no holding back at this time of year, and I'm just so proud of all these guys. They gave it 100%. I'm really happy for San Diego because I know they're valiant competitors. They gave us their effort. They never quit. They almost came back and won this game today, and even though I know they're not feeling the way we feel right now, I just thank the good Lord for a challenge that they gave us.
The thing that makes me so happy is that so many people contributed to this, the final effort. All of our farm people, our scouts and minor league managers, instructors, and Sparky and his coaches, and just our people in the front office. Everybody had a piece of the action here and deserves a piece of the credit for putting this ball club together. And of course, not forgetting those players. They did a whale of a job.
Tommy, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's a great feeling. And I just want to say hi to everybody back in Fayetteville, Pennsylvania.
Congratulations, Lou.
Thank you. Thank you, Ernie. And I mean, it's been a long year. And congratulations to Detroit.
It feels fantastic to even be playing in a world championship, you know, game and then be able to contribute, get a couple of hits like that. It just magnifies everything.
I tell you what, I'd like to thank the city of Detroit and the state of Michigan. Before I came here, I didn't have too many high opinions of Detroit and the state of Michigan. And after being here for 4 months now, I have the utmost respect for this area and this city.
You know, Paul, I'll tell you, I've been in 5 World Series, and as far as a player, and to me, I don't know if anything's better than this. The way we started all year, we broke records, we played well. This is a great ball club. It's a combination of all the things Spark has done, the players, the coaches, and I couldn't be any happier.
I know that I was fortunate enough to get the MVP for the series, but we've got a lot of MVPs in our team. Jack Morris, Kirk Gibson. I don't want to leave any of them out, but we've had a unique year. It's been somebody different every night. That's what makes it most special.
Oh, what a night this guy had. Kirk Gibson. Wow!
What do you mean, what I had? What's ahead of me? I'm just kidding.
Here's the skipper, yes, Sparky Anderson. Congratulations, a world champion again.
Well, Paulie, this one feels so good because, as you know and Ernie knows, this was kind of all of us together. This wasn't a separation. You know, some clubs you have egos and separations points. This club was ego-free. The kids all pulled for each other all year. They stayed in the pits.
You know, I was really happy and very pleased that I was able to help the ball club. You know, I got a chance to show the world what we're all about and we did as a team, and I'm just happy I was a part of it.
This has been the most fantastic year, most fantastic experience tonight. I know everybody's having a good time, but it probably won't sink in for a few days. Yeah. You know, everybody's just trying to enjoy themselves right now, but if you really have a chance to look back and look at all the things that we've accomplished, I don't see how this ball club could have played much better than they did. It's just been great.
I say Aurelio Lopez deserve it, the credit, because I did it. This guy over here coming in and save a lot of game for myself because I was on it. He was on it. He came in, pitched 3 innings, pitched 2 innings, 4 innings, and then coming in, get the win. I get the save for all because of his job.
A beautiful season. It's a wonderful season.
It's a great feeling. You know, I wanted to squeeze that last out, you know, because I know that was it. You know, and it's a great feeling. I know that about that.
1984 belongs to Darrell Evans and the Tigers.
Thank you, Paul. This belongs to all those people who supported us, all those people that I think feel like they belong in here. They certainly do, and if it wasn't for all those, we may not be here. And I appreciate all the support, and I love living here. I love the area, and all these people have been just as hungry as I have, and I appreciate your support.
The 1984 Tigers had done it all. They won more games than any team in Tiger history. They swept the Royals in the playoffs. They won the World Series in 5 games. Their 7-1 record in the postseason matched the percentage of their 35-5 start. There'll always be an unanswered question of whether the 84 Tigers were better than the 68 Tigers. It's almost an unfair question. Each team was a great one. Each had its own identity. Each was a champion. The 1968 club was a come-from-behind team. The 1984 club was a come-from-ahead team. The 1984 Tigers were wire-to-wire champions. The 1984 Tigers Wire to Wire Champions is a copyrighted presentation of WJR Sports. Now for my broadcast partner, Paul Carey, for the Detroit Tigers, and for WJR Sports, this is Ernie Harwell saying, the Tigers and their fans don't have to wait till next year.